This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Coming up, we're breaking down the backlash over Yale's potential settlement with the Trump administration. But first, more than 1,000 joined a protest of ICE in Danbury last night. Plus, Suffolk Democrats call for an investigation into Republicans who sued over even-year local elections. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. More than 1,000 people took to the streets in Danbury last night to protest recent immigration arrests that stunned the city. WSHU's Molly Ingram was there and has this report.
Over the last week and a half, Immigration and Customs Enforcement has made more than 100 arrests across Connecticut, more than half of them in Danbury. Officials say ICE officers have made arrests at local businesses, on the streets, and even at school bus stops, which White House Border Czar Tom Homan told CNN he wasn't aware of, but also didn't denounce.
Did somebody arrest somebody at a bus stop? I'm not aware of that. But ICE is out there to enforce law against those that have been ordered removed by a federal judge. And especially if they're a criminal or if they're a national security threat, there's no safe harbor for them in this country. We'll go where we need to go.
One of the people arrested at the grocery store Seatown was Luis. He says he has no criminal record. He was brought to Hartford, then Massachusetts, and finally Colorado before his lawyer threatened a lawsuit against the federal government. He was held for a week before being released. A fellow rallygoer translated for him.
When ICE came to him and took him, they took him while he was shopping. He told them that he was in the car with his wife and his kid. And they told him that it was okay just to step out of the car. They didn't give him any explanations. They did not ask any questions. They just put the handcuffs.
Danbury Mayor Roberto Alves, who was undocumented until his 20s, says his community has been terrified.
I don't know when ICE is coming. I don't know when ICE is leaving. I don't know who ICE arrested. I don't know what ICE is doing because ICE doesn't tell us what they are doing. They don't want to tell us. They want to scare us. But here's what I know. I know we're stronger together.
On Wednesday, more than 60 businesses in Danbury closed their doors to show support for the immigrant community. It was dubbed a day without an immigrant. In the evening, a massive group led by Governor Ned Lamont, U.S. Senators Richard Blumenthal and Chris Murphy, and Mayor Alves marched to the town green for a rally. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Some Suffolk County Democrats want the state attorney general to investigate Republicans who sued to block the state's even-number year election law. WSHU's Stephen Ospina Delgado explains.
Six Republican municipalities spent over $3 million on lawsuits aiming to strike down a New York law moving local elections to even-numbered years. Some Suffolk County Democrats this week called upon Attorney General Letitia James to review the lawsuits. Legislator Rebecca Sandin says taxpayers deserve full transparency.
The public dollar carries a public trust. And when that trust involves millions of taxpayer dollars, taxpayers are entitled to a full and transparent accounting. Let me be clear, this is not about whether someone supports or opposes the even-year election law.
Presiding Officer Anthony Piccirillo told Newsday the newly passed even-number election law was an attempt by Democrats to steal local elections, and that he's been working with the county attorney to ensure taxpayer dollars are being correctly spent. Stephen Ospina Delgado, WSHU News.
Hartford and Bridgeport are among the worst places in the country for people with asthma. That's according to the latest annual ranking from the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. The New England News Collaborative's Shujata Srinivasan has the data.
Hartford ranks 8 out of 100 cities nationally. Bridgeport was placed at 33 and New Haven came in at 60.
People shouldn't be able to breathe by their zip code, but unfortunately, that's kind of what's happening in Connecticut.
That's Kenneth Mendes, the association's CEO. He says about 1 in 4 Hartford residents lives in poverty. On top of that, Hartford got an F rating for high ozone days from the American Lung Association.
Poverty, poor air quality, those aren't good mixes for people with asthma, and it creates more prevalence in the emergency room visits and mortality.
September is when ER visits for asthma start to spike. Mendes advises people to get vaccinated against respiratory illnesses, the flu, COVID-19, and RSV to reduce complications. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Sujata Shinivas.
As Yale continues to negotiate with the Trump administration over admissions practices, activists urge the university not to back down. That story is coming up.
Picture it. Vienna, 1787. Mozart finishes A Little Night Music. Above him is a night sky we can recreate more than two centuries later. See it while the Vista Quartet performs Mozart's music live at Sound in the Stars First Night, a special fundraising event for WSHU. Join WSHU's Emily Boyer October 15th at the Discovery Science Center and Planetarium in Bridgeport. Choose the 5:30 or 8 o'clock concert with a reception between performances. Seating is limited. Get tickets and all the details at WSHU.org.
A handful of Long Island high schools have canceled their varsity football seasons, all for different reasons. Amityville is the latest, citing player injuries in a letter to the community, but there was no mention of what kinds of injuries or how many athletes were hurt. They will still have a junior varsity season, as they felt it was unsafe to move up younger students to play with older ones. Seniors are prohibited from playing at the JV level under state regulations. Bridgeport police say they towed more than 700 vehicles over the course of a summer-long operation. Most were abandoned, illegally parked, or improperly registered. That includes tractor-trailer trucks and other large vehicles, according to police. Tourism on Long Island was up over 6% in 2025, according to a new report from research company Tourism Economics. Visitors spent $8.4 billion last year, mostly in Suffolk County. Long Island tourism overall generated almost $1 billion in state and local taxes. Thousands of new pre-kindergarten seats are available on Long Island as the school year begins this week. It's part of a multi-year expansion launched by the governor. This year's state budget included $560 million for the effort. Speaking at a pre-K in Huntington this week, Governor Hochul said the expansion reaches more than half of the state's school districts.
Many are offering pre-K to four-year-olds for the first time ever. So whether it's expanding the program or first time doing this, this is the year everything changes for these kids.
Hochul says the state is still on track to offer pre-K slots to all four-year-olds in the state by 2028. Students are headed back to school amid an atmosphere of tension. The Trump administration has been investigating the school over its admissions practices. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports activists are rallying to tell Yale not to settle with the administration.
Tell me what democracy looks like!
This is what democracy looks like!
Hundreds of students, faculty, alumni, and others rallied in front of Yale Sterling Library at a gathering that wasn't exactly sanctioned by the administration. They didn't even ask permission to gather on the green, and they say that could be risky in the Trump era, which has brought new restrictions on some college campuses like Yale.
This is albeit small act of civil disobedience.
That's student body president Alex Chen.
Pre-2024, pre the promulgation of all these new restrictions, this is what college campuses look like. This is what Yale has looked like going back to the 60s. If you go through all of the most righteous, most famous student assemblies, none of that would be allowed today.
The lesson couldn't be simpler.
That's actor Sam Waterston, a Yale alumni.
It's a basic instinct that predates politics and sits at the center of peaceful community, society, and democracy itself. It's as old as the schoolyard, as old as the Bible. And I won't forget my father saying, never give in to a bully.
Earlier this summer, the New York Times reported Yale leadership offered to settle with the Department of Justice.
So just because here at Yale we have yet to see a signed settlement does not mean that university leadership isn't folding as we speak.
Marisol Orihuela is a professor at Yale Law School, one of three schools in the university under investigation.
What happens at Yale will impact higher ed institutions around the country. We have an opportunity and a responsibility to demand that our university leadership stand behind Yale's lawful and appropriate admissions practices.
Across campus, other students were at a mandatory first-year event called the University and Democracy. Catherine Profeta is an alumni organizer. She says the university should be defending democracy more vocally.
Yale chose to lobby in secret to try and protect itself, at least not in an outward way, which could inspire and aid other institutions to, you know, join forces.
Profeta says that's only one of several problems activists hope to address, stemming from the Trump administration's pressure.
The effect is absolutely chilling on student speech, and we need them to turn that around. So that's one. We would love the Yale Board of Trustees to be elected in a more representative fashion. That is completely not democracy.
The university says it's Yale's longstanding practice not to discuss the specifics of ongoing legal matters. Yale President Maury McInnes said in July the university is, quote, talking and listening with the Trump administration, and she said they'll safeguard academic freedom. Speaker David Blight is a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, and he's the mentor of student body president Alex Chen. He says he doesn't want students to lose sight of the real danger. It's not the university.
It's on Pennsylvania Avenue in New York, in Washington, and 1,000 other places in this country where an autocratic regime is taking away the democracy as we speak.
And Blight says it goes without saying the university should not settle with the Trump administration. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
This story was co-written and produced by WSHU News fellow Sarah Hazany. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. For more on the music, the latest news, and some behind-the-scenes shenanigans, check us out over on Instagram. We would love to connect with you on there. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Speak to you then.